I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got something to get to that was a pretty interesting quote out of Berea, but just to take a quick second there, I think that's where I've started to doubt about. It's not about Donovan. It's not about Darius. It's about Donovan and Darius together and whether there's just going to be a natural math problem that gets in the way of taking Evan Mobley where he needs to go. And that might be the number one reason why I'm willing to trade Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell. So one of the, but more likely Darius, to solve that math equation and make it easier to build this thing around Evan.
Well, on the usage, like, you know, like you were talking about right there, I mean, think about it. Like, I killed Donovan for game five and what happened in that game, because it was the Donovan Mitchell show. The whole thing he told Jared Greenberg he didn't want to do, which was go back to how he did postseason series in Utah, where he just turned it about to, basically about himself, is exactly what he did in game five of that series against Indiana, and he did it multiple times in the Indiana series in general. And it's one of the big gripes I had about that series. But it's like, how do you rein that in while also recognizing that Donovan Mitchell taking shots most of the time, if it's not 50% of the time like it was there, is usually a good play.
So I thought the big problem in game five was it wasn't just Donovan. No, the second you would get the bigs going, all of a sudden Donovan or Darius would start jacking up shots.
It was a tale of two halves. So Darius and Donovan, they were 5 for 21 in that first half in total, and that's when the bigs actually got to do some work. But in the second half, that's when Donovan made it about himself. That's why up until a minute left in that game, the 13 previous possessions were all Donovan Mitchell possessions. Like, and that can't happen if you're talking actual team basketball.
So while we'll get back to this in a little bit here, because want to make sure we get to an interesting piece of audio. Jim Schwartz speaking today. The coordinator spoke today. Jim Schwartz, Tommy Reese as well, just about, you know, where the team is and where they are. And it's interesting. We've had different conversations about Miles as a leader. What's next for Miles? What's the fallout of the contract squabble? What does that look like? Well, Jim Schwartz today had an interesting comment about what he expects out of Miles Garrett this year.
I mean, this is a voluntary portion. We know Miles works hard no matter where he is, no matter what time the season is. So, you know, he's a veteran player that's proven himself in this league. We have a lot of guys out here who are trying to reach that level, and they're working hard every day to do that. So every player is a little bit different, but this is a voluntary part of the schedule, and we're happy with the guys that are here, and they're all working really hard. I really think Miles is going to have the best season of his career. Has to, right? You know, I've told him before, it's that Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility, right? You know, and that's with the big contract, with the notoriety that came along with that, and, you know, with the process that took to get him to that point. There also comes, there's always pressure in this league, but probably a little bit more so. And I think that brings out the best in players. And I know that'll be the case with Miles also.
All right, there's a few things.
You think he's ever actually seen Spider-Man?
Unless it was on film, like game film, no.
Pop Spider-Man into the game film. And this is Spider-Man and all 22.
The only way to get Jim Schwartz to watch it is if you put like a cut-up of the movie in the middle of like all 22 from the Pittsburgh game last year.
He knew the reporters were going to bail him out of that one. There's enough reporters that have seen Spider-Man.
Also, I love that where they... It's just nothing funnier that the Browns continue to insist on putting the dump truck.
Yeah.
Because it's in every clip.
Yeah, I know.
And at some point, I mean, it feels like maybe there's a statement being made.
Well, I thought
when
they bought out the houses, I thought that would kind of make that all go away, right?
Maybe that's what they broke ground on today that we'll talk with Daryl about.
There we go. A lot of shovels out today, Nick.
But I thought it was interesting that he said, you know, maybe there'll be more pressure on Myles Garrett this year. And he linked it directly to the contract.
Yeah, which Miles has already signed an expensive contract. It was a 5-year, $125 million deal. It happened years ago. We were all there for it. Like, it's not like this is the first, it's not his first rodeo when it comes to signing massive contracts. In a year where you're not expected to win a bunch, I thought he was going to go to the idea that he now has Mason Graham on the line. And that's where he should then look like the best version of Miles. Not necessarily that he's going to be motivated by making more money, because I don't think that's going to be true with him.
Yeah, I just don't think Miles is going to feel any pressure.
Why would he feel pressure?
And here's the thing. I think Miles knows he is an Adonis. I think Miles knows he's one of the five best edge rushers in the NFL and the heir apparent to Reggie White and Bruce Smith. I think Miles knows that he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why, like, maybe one of the things that bugged me the most about signing the extension is that him signing the extension for $40 million meant he was totally comfortable with where this thing was going, which is likely in the toilet. And there was something about that really bugged me about a guy that I've watched be elite. Like, a guy who has played through injuries after injury and sets a tone in that way at the very least, to then watch him be like, you know what, maybe winning isn't that important. I'm totally content with where we are because you gave me $40 million.
I still don't think that's the case, though. I think it was just he just realized his hands were tied and he was in a situation he wasn't going to be able to get out of. It's really all I ever think it was. But
and he really, I mean, what a fight. Almost made it to free agency.
Yeah, I mean,
TJ Watt is still in a contract kerfuffle with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think he looked at it, realized he was basically screwed in getting his way out of it, and said, okay, fine. If $40 million is what it's going to be, then $40 million is what it's going to be. But the point is, I don't see where the added pressure is, mainly because he's made a bunch of money before, and I don't know that this is going to be any sort of incentive to be like, let's do great for a 3 or 4 or 5 win team.
Yeah, and not just that. So in addition to that, I should say, I think Miles is completely content in, hey, if I gave you 15 sacks and 50 pressures, I did my job.
For sure. You can't ask for much more than that. If that's what he delivers and it's probably what he'll end up delivering, why would he feel like he didn't do his job?
Because the team didn't win.
Yeah, but I think
I'll be honest with you. I think this is a little bit of loser mentality that is clept. And I hate that phrase because it's overused and misapplied so often. But like the amount of people who, when I criticize Miles for not showing up to OTAs, now people are like, well, he's got 15 sacks. What more can you do? You can win. And he can want to win. And it can burn that you don't win.
Yeah, but if he's entering a season where it doesn't matter what he does, the offensive side of the ball, if it's not good enough, there's nothing he can do.
Well, no, I think my point is, by the way, yes, you can continue to put pressure on the organization, which was the entire attempt of the I want out of here in the first place, was trying to either get out of here or keep them honest in their quarterback pursuit. And then none of that worked. And now we're here. So to get to the point is, so in terms of what more can he do, he has to, like, it's not really about that. It's more about, hey, I got my 15 sacks. I did all I can do. Well, no, you didn't win. So if you only get personal production and you didn't win, you didn't get the job done, no matter if there's nothing more you could have done about it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I took Schwartz's individual standpoint with Miles. I took his comments to be like, from an individual standpoint, if you think he was going towards the winning standpoint, then maybe it's a little bit of a different conversation. I isolated it out as if, like, as he says Miles is going to have one of the best seasons he's ever had, and he should feel pressure to. I looked at that as an individual thing.
No, I think the point I'm trying to make, because maybe we're not
I'm not landing this.
No, the job isn't done if Miles has a good season, but you don't win. Now, that's more of a team thing, but Miles owns part of that. If Miles is content having 15 sacks on a 3-win season, I did all I could do, that feels like loser mentality. Like accepting a 3-win season because you had a good individual season, because you were individually good and the team team-wide they didn't do well. I when have we ever had that bar for players?
Okay, but
like how many players in NFL history have been good on bad teams and don't get into the Hall of Fame because of that?
Right, but in relation to the pressure that Jim Schwartz is talking about within that is like if this is a last year when the offense had it was 32nd in the NFL and led the league in turnovers, what more would you have wanted Miles in his own individual standpoint to do? If it's such a quarterback league and everything, I get Trevor Lawrence signing for $250 million, and it's like, well, then you must win some games. Like that's a thing you have to do then. With Miles, there's a part of me that looks around and, yeah, 15 sacks, 50 pressures, has one of the best PFF scores year in, year out. I see him being like, what more do you really want from me?
And the answer should be winning.
But he's only responsible for so much. Like, that's the hard part of this game.
But I think that's, but if you just put it about stats, that's not the only way to gauge success, and that's not the only way. So, like, listen, you and I agree. Miles isn't going to feel any more pressure because Miles thinks, I did my job because X, Y, and Z happened. That's the problem. Like, just being individually good, making other people better is, like, part of your job. That's part of leadership, too, which is what the Browns have said, which is wild that Jim Schwartz is like, I don't care he's here because, you know, quite frankly, it's voluntary. It's like you were the guy who on the dais at the end of the season were like, we need our best players to be our leaders. You were talking about Miles. That was one of the guys that he specifically was talking about.
Right.
So it's just weird how there just is a lot of double talk with this organization, which is, again, par for the course, because Miles is also the king of double talk as well. I think winning should be part of how we evaluate Miles.
Well, I think it's going to be impossible to evaluate Miles with this upcoming season when if you're using winning as the way to do it, when you don't have a good enough team already presented on the field and you don't have a quarterback that can win you a lot of games, that's a hard ask to then say you got to win a lot of games.
I just think, but like how many other great individual players do we just give them a pass for losing?
It seems like TJ Watt's gotten a pass his whole entire career.
What, losing? The guy's never had a losing season.
Well, no, but I'm saying the guy hasn't won a playoff game.
Maybe we're
talking two different things. He's never won a playoff game. Like I look at that as, if you were to tell me a great player, defensive player of the year, multi-time defensive player of the year, that's never won a playoff game, and he hasn't. He's never won a playoff game. I don't consider that to be a massive winner.
Yeah, I think we're officially talking apples to bowling balls, because one guy can get in the playoffs two times in a 10-year career.
But I think you're putting too much on the defensive end or a pass rusher to then completely change the trajectory of a whole entire team.
That's the point of the $40 million.
No. But without a quarterback, try winning as a pass rusher. Try winning in the NFL saying that's what you're going to do.
The point is you get very high marks for being really good on bad teams. You don't get full marks. You only really get full marks if you win more than you lose, and they haven't. Like with Miles, more often than not, they haven't. Now you and I agree, by the way. Yeah, there's no more pressure. Miles is completely content where he is. Miles thinks he's got it all baked in. Maybe that's part of the problem. Like, there is a losing culture in Berea. I know, because I've watched the team, even with Kevin Stefanski. Like, they go as a few indicators go. Like, I love this idea that we've baked in these excuses for the Browns. And it just comes back to, you just haven't won. And at the end of the day, that's what you are. It's not, well, the Deshaun thing didn't work out beyond our control. It's not, well, Baker was immature. No. You're just not winners. And figuring out that, which is ownership of winning and losing, not yourself, figuring out how we win as a team should matter as much to Miles as any damn thing else.
Right, but with this upcoming season, again, Rome wasn't built in a day here. So like, if you're going to put wins and losses on Miles' shoulder with a roster that PFF thinks is 32nd in the NFL, you're going to end up disappointed at the end of the season. But that's what I'm telling you.
So this is to TM on Twitter saying, win-loss record is now a defensive end stat. It's a whole team stat. They all get called losers for that. When you go 3-14, when the expectation was playoffs, I got to put that scarlet letter
what about
on
when
Wyatt.
The, what about when the
I
expectations are 3-win season, though?
I got to put it on Jack Conklin.
What about when the expectations are 3-win season, like it is this
year? Still a loser. You still lost.
Hey, that's your defining metric or what you want to use to attach whether or not Miles has a good or successful season. I'm just telling you now, you're going to end this year being very disappointed.
How many all-time great defensive players end up on 3-win teams? I don't recall TJ Watt being there. I don't recall Michael Parsons ever being on a 3-win team. And again, this is about the pressure on Miles. It's about Miles having a career. I'm not impressed by 15 sacks anymore. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do that. I have not seen him have a lot of team success. And I'm not. Listen, it's not just about Miles. It's about all of them. I mean, Zach the other day, Zach Jackson in the morning show. Nobody with a right brain thinks, with a correct brain thinks the Browns are the 32nd best roster.
Clearly, somebody does
in the NFL. Does
PFF put it out there, and the FBI gives you the best chance to end up with dead last.
You are what you're like. I don't care that 3 years ago Joel Bitonio was great, or Wyatt Teller was great, or Ethan Posick was really good for one half of a season. Like, and I keep saying like the same four names. My point is, until you win consistently in the NFL, you are where we are right now. So, like, should Miles feel the pressure of losing? Yes, he absolutely should. That was the whole point and everything that he said in January. How has that changed? How has $40 million changed? And still, you know what? It's pretty great to lose now because there's $40 million involved.
No, I don't think it has changed. That's kind of the whole point. That's what we always go back on. If it had changed, he would have been there for OTAs. It hasn't changed.
216-474-0092. Is there more pressure on Miles Garrett this year? Jim Schwartz says there is. There isn't. Miles is quite content being on a Hall of Fame trajectory, making $40 million a year, and going whatever the record is for the Cleveland Browns.
What we started. We agreed with that same sentiment. We agreed with the idea that there's not more added pressure onto Miles Garrett. But then it just kind of shifted into trying to figure out whether or not Miles Garrett should be responsible for the team wins this upcoming season. I just don't think he should.
No, it's not about this season. It's about he's getting a massive pass from people saying, hey, he put up 10
sacks.
No, it
is about this season. The conversation is about this season. That's what Jim Schwartz was talking about. There's only so much Miles can control when you have a four-quarterback battle in Berea.
What about
last
year?
It's not a quarterback battle that anyone is taking seriously.
What about the eight-win season?
We're not talking about last year. We're talking about this upcoming season.
Well, no, the point is, they're all put together there.
Was talking about this upcoming season.
Well, hey, guys, this season and this season only. Let's not talk or think about wins and losses and how it relates to anybody on the roster. Is that where we're going? Everybody gets a pass for being a stink-ass team this year?
No, but you can't say you have to win 10 games this year and it's all on Miles if he doesn't.
No, I didn't say it's all on Miles, for the love of God. Like,
you came close to it.
No, I didn't. I said it's on Wyatt. I said it's on Joel. It's on all of them. They're all losers. They're all content losing.
They're all losers.
I don't think
they're content losing. They just don't have a good enough roster around them.
But they have had good enough rosters and they went 3-14. Last year was not a 3-14 roster. They went 3-14. And we're all just going, you know what? Hey, Miles, you get your 10 sacks and you punch out, bub. That's good enough. This is good enough. None of this is good enough. And I got an organization that acts like they've hoisted a Vince Lombardi trophy every year. They
now, that's
apparently
infuriating.
Crap good gold ingots in Berea.
Yeah, not denying that. That's infuriating. I missed where the Lombardi trophy was.
You think our quarterback plan is crap? What do you know? Well, I know you're 3-14, dog. That's what I know. Oh, hey, guys, it's voluntary. Yeah, hey, it's fine. It's no big deal. It's no big deal at all.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, enjoy being 3-14, man. Not saying you. I'm saying the people.
No, I'm not going to enjoy it. It's going to be miserable.
Sounds like you're going to enjoy it.
No, it's not going to be miserable. I'm just praising you because it seemed like at the end of the season when Miles has 15 sacks and 50 pressures, if you only win three games, you're going to be massively disappointed with Miles' output and expected more out of him.
I think we should be.
I just have a more
the whole team.
I got a more realistic output for this upcoming season.
I'm Mr. 3-14. I've said they're 3-14.
Exactly. If you think you're a 3-win team, then you can't expect him to go ahead and take on the world and be like you're going to be a 7-8-9 win team based off of you being there at OTAs and you trying harder. That's not going to be a thing.
Well, no, it's about actually trying to build something sustainable over time. And you don't do that by going, you wouldn't go in on your day off in your job. Okay. I'm not saying you're saying that.
I didn't say that.
Darryl Ryder, I think, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We've got stadium news. We've got Berea campus news. We've got expectations, pressure on the rise for Myles Garrett, and so much more. And a man to talk about Shador's pass and 11-on-11s. JP, you ready?
Don't get me too excited on this Wednesday.
All right, well, you don't have to stand up for a while. Darryl Ryder joins us now, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, welcome to the show.
Don't make me come down there and separate you two now.
I would love to see you.
If you're going to be the one
really
to separate us.
All right, now, Darryl, just so you know, okay, I happen to have been involved in a Donnybrook once where somebody was built your size trying to break up a fight between me and a second person who was also large. The person your size took more punches than anybody else.
That's good to know.
I will say, Darryl, if I was like at a bar or something and you had approached and tried to like start a fight with me or something, your size person is the person I'm scared of the most, only because... Usually, if they're trying to start a fight and they're your size, they have like 4 years of Taekwondo under their belt. They're like a black belt in something, and I'm like, oh no, this isn't going to go well, is it? And you find out instantly.
Not if they're trying to start the fight. It's the guys that's not this guy that's trying to avoid the fight that's Daryl's size. That is the guy that has Taekwondo because he knows he can kill you.
I think some people just take Taekwondo. They take some of that stuff just for those moments at the bar. They're just waiting.
Darryl, was it the best pass you've seen in your life? Shador Sanders to Caden Davis for a TD.
No, but it was pretty nice. I'll give him his credit. It was nice. I won't say it's the best, but I will say Shador had a better day than Dylan Gabriel did on the field, and he... Very unfair to rank these during OTA's moment of the program here. But, you can see the progress from Shador between when he was on the field that first practice in rookie minicamp to where he is now. You can tell that he's putting in a lot of time off the field. And offensive coordinator Tommy Reese talked about that today. Actually, all these quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett, as well as Dylan Gabriel, the work that they're doing behind the scenes to try and refine their game. But like I said, Shador got the better of Gabriel today.
Darryl, is it fair to say then, when talking with Tommy Reese and all these other coaches, that they seem impressed by the amount of work then that Shador is putting in?
Yeah, I think that, impressed, satisfied, pleased, however you want to describe it. The vibes are pretty good right now when it comes to the progress that Shedeur is making.
I do love some good vibes. Jim Schwartz says that given the contract and everything else, there might be a little more pressure on Myles Garrett this year. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, he kind of blew a flat tire there on trying to do the old Spider-Man line.
Was that you that saved him?
No, I did not save him. But
he's a team player.
Yeah. I don't interrupt folks when they're talking, except for if it's you two. But, yeah, I mean, it just it's not a big deal that he's not here right now. It's voluntary, whatever. However, with that contract comes the expectation and the responsibility that he's going to not only play at the level we have seen him play at, but also elevate his game. So I thought that those were some interesting comments that Schwartz made today.
Darryl, I heard from a couple people that were there today, and so I want to see if you can confirm as well. They said the defense looked really – really strong today. Was that your perception as well?
Yeah. Greg Newsom had himself a little bit of a day out there. Denzel Ward got after it a little bit too. But again, this is, it's not live. So, if I had to give an edge, if you made me give an edge offense versus defense from today's workout, I would give it to the defense.
All right, Darryl, we had some stadium news yesterday. Can you recap that for us and tell us where we are in the will they get a Brook Park, will they stay on the lakefront debacle?
Well, I think we're about 75% home on this. That's what I'm hearing. The Senate came out, the Finance Committee and the Senate presented their budget plan for their chamber yesterday. Basically what they want to do instead of using bonds and affecting the general fund or whatever, they want to dip into the unclaimed fund, and that's money that has been sitting there collecting dust for well over a decade. They want to dip into that and get the $600 million to the Browns that way, but also have an extra $1.1 billion set aside for other projects around the state. So that would take care of the Cincinnati Bengals, Cincinnati Reds, any other pro teams that would seek stadium repair assistance. So this is now the third plan. We know the governor's plan was the gambling company tax. The Ohio House said no to that. Let's just do $600 million in bonds. And the Senate said no to both. And so if this budget passes in the Senate, you'll now have three branches of government okay $600 million for the Brook Park project. They'll get into conference committee and hammer out just how the Browns get that funding.
Yeah, Darryl, thanks to you, I went on the unclaimed site yesterday, and turns out I'm owed something under $25 that'll be coming back my way. So I get under 20. Might pay off that burger bet I have with you.
I came up with $50 yesterday, just for grins. I went on, put in all the information, took me about a minute to do it. And we'll see if the check is on the way.
So the only thing I would say on this, and maybe you can clarify for me, with the unclaimed money, is that used for unclaimed money across the state or in a specific area? Because I'd have a hard time thinking if I lived in Cincinnati, I'd be cool with them using unclaimed money of mine potentially to go ahead and build a stadium here.
But see, here's the thing. This is what people don't understand about this. Mm-hmm. You can still go on and try and get your money, okay? If it's unclaimed, it's actually something called like the unclaimed property fund. Okay. And they're not touching anything, that's within the last 10 years. And, here's the other part of this too. The Browns are going to be paying that $600 million back to the state of Ohio. And how it's going to be done is through the tax increment financing from the facility. And if the projections, because this is one of the arguments Chris Ronayne, the county executive, has made and others, hey, the Browns inflated their numbers. They are talking, in fantasy land about the tax revenue that they're going to generate with this Brook Park complex. What the Senate is proposing is that the Browns have to put $50 million into an escrow account. And if the projections fall short, the tax revenue projections fall short, the state gets to dip into that account over the first 16 years, okay? And if that money gets exhausted, the Browns have to put in another $50 million as well. So the Browns are on the hook for about $100 million in tax shortfall replenishment, for lack of a better description here, too. So they're not getting the free ride that I think some folks are trying to say that they're going to get with this whole dome situation in Brook Park.
All right, Daryl, you were at the groundbreaking on the campus expansion in Berea. How much dirt did they fling? What can you tell us?
I will say this, Joel Bitonio and Denzel Ward, expert shovel tippers. Expert level there.
I knew that. Joel always looked like a really good
shoveler. That looked like he had a good, yeah, he got a lot of dirt there.
Yeah, he's had to shovel a lot of stuff.
Who looked like they never used one? Who looked like they never used a shovel, Daryl?
He stepped in a good joke there. He was making a shoveling bleep joke.
Oh, my bad, Daryl. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I have to go back and watch the film to see. But
easy, Hugh Jackson.
It's a $175 million project. Berea Mid Park High School, by the way, announced they're going to play their high school games at the 7,000-seat community stadium they're building. That was announced to play high school football out here as well. University Hospitals Medical Center, new multimedia space for the Browns, two apartment buildings, a hotel, some retail space. I mean, it really is a quite the investment. I got to give Mike Gallagher, county councilman, credit for the line of the day. He mentioned that on his way in from downtown, he passed Brook Park and realized that, yes, in fact, Brook Park is within the county of Cuyahoga.
You think if Shador was the number two overall pick, he would have been one to fling the dirt?
Man, I don't know, maybe. Sure, why not? I mean, Kevin Stefanski said a few words. Dave Jenkins, the chief operating officer, also spoke. Whitney Haslam Johnson, obviously their partners in this project as well to get this thing going. In fact, one of the buildings, the really ambitious timeline, they hope to have one of the buildings done within the next 12 months. So they're going to really get going on this project, but it is a two-year construction timeline. And when it's all done, I think fans are really going to enjoy the training camp experiences. One of the things they plan to do is that community field stadium they're building, that the Browns are going to hold their night practice in it, too. So something for folks to look forward to in the coming years.
Daryl, we get about 45 seconds here. Kimberly Martin says there are people in the Browns building who believe that Shador can 100% be the starter. How much of a surprise would it be to you if Shador won the job week one?
I would be very surprised. I think
and you don't get surprised often.
No, I'd be surprised, and here's why. Because I think right now, of the quarterbacks, he's number four on my depth chart right now. And the impression I get, they want to make sure when they put him on the field, he's in a position to be successful. They don't want him to be in adverse situations. I think the same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel. But, yeah, if he ultimately is the starting quarterback in week number one as a fifth-round pick, I will be surprised by that.
Daryl, we're going to hold you to it. Be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet, guys.
We got to react to what Daryl Ryder had to say there. Great stuff with Daryl. But we'll react to Daryl's comments on where the Browns are going forward in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Keith has cut up a couple clips from that, and he just released the point where you set me off.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what you said.
You did lose it. I mean, you lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I don't mind. What do I care if you lose it or not? I think it's enjoyable when you lose it. But I wasn't trying to poke you to lose it or anything like that. I think we just generally saw it differently. But like you turned Jim Schwartz's comments for this season into some big overarching viewpoint on how we should view Myles Garrett. And it's like, well, he was talking about this upcoming season. And so even within the clip, and you guys check it out on Twitter, Keith puts out there, Nick Wilson sounds off on me saying we can't judge Myles Garrett on Browns winning. And it's like, there should be a winning this season attached to that. Like the clip, what we are discussing here is for this upcoming season. Can you prioritize how much Myles is responsible in the win-loss category? And I think it's a ridiculous standard when the talent isn't there right now.
If we go to this team specifically,
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I think it's a 3-win team. Win more than 3 games. If you really want to impress me, like, I guess the point, and you were right, I think you were making a point about this season, I'm making more of a point that it's all connected. All the losing is connected. As much as winning is connected, so is losing.
Like, I do think we'll get to a point with Miles, I hope we get to a point with Miles in the next couple of years, Nick, where we're like, yeah, we need to expect something from you in the win-loss department, because we have to at some point expect something out of this team in the win-loss department. But this upcoming season, it's just not the season when you have four different quarterbacks vying for the starting role, and you don't have the talent to get there anyway. Like, Miles can only do so much.
Do you think they have one of the three worst rosters in the NFL?
I'd say it's bottom 7 or bottom 8.
Okay. I think
quarterback right now.
I don't think there's a 2017 Cleveland Browns out there. So I don't see much difference between the 7th worst roster and the worst roster because every team's trying to compete right now to win going forward. The biggest fatal flaw you can have is the quarterback position. Like, quarterbacks never meant more for teams, 17 to 32. Simply because the talent margin between those two teams isn't that great. But this is a way. Like, if you want to prove to me that all that bravado about winning and all that, if you really mean it, all right, I think you're a 3-win team. Go win 6 or 7 games. Like, the expectation.
But I think at the end of the season, you'll turn around and say, well, you only won 6 games, and you'll call them a loser or something.
I don't think that's fair. No, I don't think that's fair, because I'll say, well, Vegas had you at a 5.5 win, and you won 7 games. Like, I think the one thing that, by saying that I think they're a 3-win team, I am trying to be fair. I'm trying to say I have no expectations for the team in general. If we just get to this season, My initial point was about the big picture point about it's all connected and Miles is a part of this. And if Miles thinks 15 sacks is enough, that's probably how you get to a 3-14 season or a 8-7 or 8-whatever season or a 7-win season before that. But specific to this season, if you really want to impress me, and it's not just Miles, it's anybody who wants to be here. It's any of the vets who have led to last year. Well, win more than three games and we'll start having the conversation.
Well, and Miles has, in other seasons, they have outperformed their season expectations to begin with. So it's not as if he's never accomplished that feat.
Which ones?
In particular, when they won 11 games 2 years ago, they outperformed their expectations. And
wasn't
then 4 years ago.
Like 2.5 wins?
That's a lot of wins, is it not?
No, I mean, it is. I just think the point is they weren't expected to be a 3-win team. But no, go ahead. What was the other one you gave?
Well, no, hold on. Well, all right, fine. The other one was the 4 years ago one prior, the one where they ended up winning the playoff game and taking on the Chiefs in the divisional round.
Wasn't that like the highest win total we've had?
Yeah, as far as Vegas was concerned,
but
they still ended up getting to 11 wins. Like, okay. They still ended up getting.
Well, okay, but like to me, like okay, the Guardians. So I'm going to do the cross sports thing, which totally never works. The Guardians last year, we had people saying they're going to win 74 games. They won the division. They won a hell of a lot more than 74 games. Like, that to me is outpacing. Like, going from 3 wins to 6 wins, it's not really that. But seven, if this team wins 7 or 8 games, it is a legitimate, bona fide accomplishment by that coach and those players. And I won't be able to throw the same thing.
Their Vegas expectation is 5.5. Your expectation is 3. So if they win 7 or 8, I mean, it's not. Like, I'm trying to figure out what is the big difference here.
5 wins.
A 5-win jump based off of what Vegas has.
But I think that's pretty impressive, right?
And okay, I'm trying to figure out what your line is.
I'm saying off my personal expectations.
Okay, then.
Because I don't care what Vegas thinks, but I understand that people do.
Okay.
Like, I'm setting such a low bar. Like, this is not hard to clear. But even then, get to 6 wins or 7 wins, and we'll talk. We'll see if it's just the quarterback. That's what they claimed last year. And by the way, it takes more than just a quarterback to get to 3 damn wins. It does. You have to really
stink on crap to get
3 wins.
No one's denying that. A lot has to go wrong.
So if it's just the quarterback and you're a 6-win team, meaning like the quarterbacks, you were scoring 17 points a game because you just weren't converting on third down, quarterback's job. You just weren't making plays in clutch situation, quarterback's jobs. All right. Then I will withdraw my complaint. But I do think we should just be like, I think I was more reacting to, and I think I am reacting more to this idea of what more could you want out of Miles? 15 sacks. It's like, if he has 17 sacks this year, but it's on a 3-win team, it's not the best season of his career.
No, and I don't think anyone, first off, he's won a defensive player of the year. So I don't think anyone's going to make a case that it'll be the best season he's ever had if he has 15 sacks and they win 3 games. It'll be impossible to make that case. But maybe I just look at it too much like Joe Thomas, and maybe that's just all I'm thinking about. It's like, how do you call Joe Thomas a loser for never having winning seasons and being collectively in a bad spate as far as the win-loss department? It's like, well, it's simple. Joe Thomas isn't the quarterback. This is such a quarterback-dependent league. I can't call Joe Thomas a loser in that regard.
I never questioned Joe's leadership. And by the way, the organization at large never questioned his leadership.
Well, we're not talking leadership, though, because I've hammered Miles' leadership multiple times. I said, when you gave him that contract.
That is what he can do more.
But you know you're not going to get it. That's part of the $40 million. I feel like we're having like 7 different discussions here.
I think we are.
Do you want to debate about the win-loss record? Well, do you want to debate about the pressure that Schwartz has? Do you want to debate about the leadership? Like,
you said what he can do more earlier in our one of our 7 conversations here. What he can do more is lead. And I can understand why people don't expect it to be different, but I think you should. Like, I think if the point is, hey, we haven't won despite Miles' greatness, what could be different? And leadership, at least with Miles specifically, one of your two highest paid players. Because here's the thing. I can't have expectations for Deshaun because he's broken. That's your highest paid player. Can't have expectations for Miles as a leader because that's just not what he does. At some point, we're like running out of places where leadership can actually come from, and upsetting the apple cart of a 3-win or a 5.5-win expectation is just like that's right. How, by the way, leadership is how you outpace expectations.
Okay, but it's not going to be a reason. Miles' lack of leadership is going to be a reason why you win three games as opposed to five games.
Or, but over
or
time,
three over five
do
to
I
six.
Think it leads to 3-14 as opposed to 6-11 last year? Absolutely.
Well, I do think this is part of the getting in bed with Miles part that is interesting when you give him $40 million. We've never disagreed on that. I've been one of the first people to tell you that's what you knew what you were getting with Miles. He hasn't changed in 9 years. Hasn't changed in 9 years. You know what you're getting.
The Lead, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/facts or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.